some marked up and read, and I like to mark my Bible, but the only thing about it, when you try to read it under these lights, you see red and yellow and black. It's kind of hard to figure out the words, so you have to look carefully at it. 1 Corinthians 3, starting verse 10 and 11. Let's just read 10 and 11. It says, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The moment we're saved in this life, we give our life to Jesus Christ. We call that being born again, a new life in Christ. And that foundation is laid. We have built, we've accepted Jesus Christ. That's the beginning of the Christian life. It's not the end, but just the very beginning. It's that foundation. When we trust Jesus Christ, we have been saved. We have been saved. Now, we continue as we grow to live that life for Christ. We are being saved and will be saved from this old earth one day. You know, salvation is an act completed. A life being saved. But then we must build our life for Jesus Christ. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, I talked about this morning, that glorious foundation is laid on Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says, the foundation. There's only one foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And one cannot build a Christian life unless he starts with Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can build a Christian life. He told Nicodemus, you know, Nicodemus was a good man and all that, but he said, Nicodemus, your problem is you must be born again. Now, we have many substitutes today. Just like in Nicodemus, Satan would have you to believe that you can live a good life, and one day God's going to let you into heaven. If you don't harm nobody, I've heard that over and over. Preacher, I just live out here by myself. I don't bother anybody. Nobody bothers me. I don't hurt anybody. One day when I die, I'll be in heaven. And that's a lie from the devil. You see, some are misled into believing that they can just live alone and a good life. Well, if that was the case, you know, you'd have more people just living by themselves and never being around anybody. Some are misled by Satan saying, well, if I can join a church. I've been told, I got my membership in that little church down there. My mother and daddy were down there. We bought a pew down there. And that's all I need, preacher, is to have that church as my home church. Well, church membership will not get you into heaven, see? And some are misled by the baptism. Well, if I can get my baby baptized or whatever, dedicated to the Lord, then that baby will be saved. Well, not so. You can be baptized, unlike where old Jerry Vine says, until you know the frogs by name. And that will not save you. You know, you need to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some, I said a while ago, depend on good work, good life. And it just won't work. And yet so many in our churches today have done exactly that. They've put their name on a church roll. They go to church. They live a good life, you know, and they think that's salvation. But salvation is more than just a good life. I agree. You ought to have a good life. But it's not salvation. Salvation is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Proverbs says there is a way that seemeth right unto man. It might seem right, but the end thereof is death. And Jesus says the wages of sin is death. You see, we are born with a sinful nature, and that old sinful nature is there. And Jesus says, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. And Scripture makes it clear that Christ is that one foundation and the only foundation in which we are to build our life. Acts 4:12 says, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So tonight, what are you building your life on? I hope it's not good works. I hope it's not baptism. I hope it's not church membership. You know, those things will not get you into heaven. And one day I want you to have assurance that you are saved, that, you know, you're growing, you're building your life upon that foundation. Let's look at the building. One can have the finest foundation there is. I never will forget, when I came here, and I don't even know what, 1985, I never will forget, I went down to some of the places, and they had a foundation for a house. And a man said, preacher, why don't you just buy this foundation and start a house on it? You see, somebody laid that foundation. It was a nice foundation, but that as far as they got. It was just laying there. It's a foundation. Well, some get saved, and yet they build nothing on it. You see, we're building a life after the foundation's laid. Then you need to start building your life upon that foundation. And folks, that's where a lot of people never really grow in their Christian life. So it is with a Christian life. You become a Christian by accepting Christ. It just tickles me to see a young man like this morning and a young man like a couple of weeks come to know Jesus Christ. But if they never grow, if they never do nothing with that foundation of Jesus Christ in their life, it's such a shame. You see? And so many fall out of church. So many never build upon that foundation. They laid their life down with Jesus Christ as the right foundation. But you need to have the right life built upon it. You see, he talks about the materials here in this scripture. Paul discusses the material in which the builder builds. Now, if any man builds upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones. Man, those are nice things, aren't they? And then he adds there wood, hay, and stubble. You have two types of material there. You can build the permanent, gold, silver, and precious stones, or the temporary, the wood, hay, and stubble. They burn up. They're gone. They rot away. I was watching a television show the other day. I like to watch these television shows, Discovery, where they go out and hunt for gold and stuff like that. Some of y'all may have watched it too, but they found a Jesuit gold down in Bolivia. It was in their mountain and 30 foot in, down in the cave, and they went through all this cave and they run to the water, and a 70 foot drop off in a hole in a cave. They had hid that gold. It's been there for over 300 years. That's a long time. Some of the dates on it were 1600. And I'm thinking, you know, that gold is precious gold. They said over $30 billion worth of gold. It's been laying there for 30 years. Now, if you put wood down there for 30 years, it's going to rot. Hay is going to rot. You know, but that gold, when that camera looked at it, you know what? It was just shiny as it ever was. Man, it was just pure 24 karat gold bars. You know, your life ought to be like that. When we build our lives upon the precious things that Christ wants us to build upon, the Word of God, materials that last, you know, it won't rot. It won't rot. There's a testing. The Bible says, it says, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which has built upon endures, he will receive reward. Now the fire shall try the building materials. Well, they tell me the testing of the Christian life and the works of the Christian life will be tested. Have you lived for Jesus in your life? What are you living for? You know, Jesus ought to be priority in your life. He says, seek me first in the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek me first, he says. And yet so many put everything else before Jesus Christ, don't we? We think, well, you know, I come to church on Sunday morning, that's pretty good. But I don't really build my life upon the things of Christ. Have you used your talents? Man, it's so good to hear this song a while ago, and that piano player and that organ player. You know, I've used your talents for God. You know, I see a lot of people with a lot of talents, but they're not using them for God. They're using them in the honky-tonks and, the world's, you know. What are you using it for God? Have you made your investments in the eternal things of life? What are you doing with your life? Just think about that. Or have you refused to do God's will? Or have you wasted your life and your talents and your time? Those are things we need to think about. The older I get, the more I think about them. I know one day that I'm going to stand before God. I'm going to meet God. And I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You did well. Now, you may not be like you may not preach, you may not sing like George Beverly Shea sung. Boy, he had a golden voice, didn't he? But do you do what God has blessed you with? You give him your best. You see? Do it for Christ. Where will you stand in the testing time when your work will be proven? If a man's work, he says here, endure the testing, he receive a reward. If it does not, it says he shall suffer loss. Now, I don't know exactly how all of this is going to come about. You know, I believe when you're saved, you're saved. And you're going to make it to heaven. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? If we wasted what God has given us, I believe you're going to be ashamed when he points that out. You see, I've used this illustration many times. Dad used to give so much money to buy a present with because we didn't have money. But he expected you to spend that much on the present. If you spent a little bit on the present and went and drank a Coke and candy with the rest, something was wrong. God expects us to use what he's given us, folks. He gives us a commission to use what he's given us. A soul in heaven, but no rewards. One man said, well, I'll be satisfied to just get into heaven. No, he won't. He'll be ashamed. When you stand and you see the others that have used their talents for God, have used what God has given them, I believe it'll make you ashamed. A Christian life starts out with a glorious foundation, and we build upon that life a glorious foundation for God. And it ought to be a solid foundation. Don't build anything else upon it. Just build what Christ gives you. Some things we build in life are this. The Christian life itself. That's what you build. From the day of conversion to the day of glory, I believe we're running a race. I believe we're on a voyage, like I said this morning. I believe we're building. I believe we're building our life one day at a time after that conversion till the day of glory. How can we so live that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life and use our life, that the Spirit will fill us with his glory day by day by day? And Jesus talks about when a Christian life is full of the Spirit, you develop those fruits of the Spirit. You see? That ought to be showing in our life. Love, joy, peace, goodness, those things. And yet I see so many Christians, so many times they call themselves Christians, are so bitter to other people, so rude to other people. And I'm wondering, man, how can we call ourselves Christians and yet live like that? and operate that way. Then he can present his life a living sacrifice for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, there are many places that we can serve God in the church. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be a chairman of some glorious committee, if there's any glorious committees. I don't think there is. But you can serve. I thank God for the ones that just serve because they love the Lord. And you don't have to ask them. You know that they're going to be there. You know what? I just praise God for them every day. The ones that take up the offering, the ones that count the money, the ones that work in the office, the ones that open the doors, the ones that sweep out the church, you know. And yet I hear sometimes, well, they didn't do this right, they didn't do that right. Well, where were you? You see, we like to criticize, but we don't want to be a part of the solution, do we? Then we can build a Christian home. We can build a Christian life. We can build a Christian home. You know, I believe Christians need Christian homes. And to build a Christian home, Christ must be the center of that home, enthroned in that home. Sin must be ruled out. Love must be lived in a Christian home. The Christian living must be practiced. It doesn't just automatically come because you're a Christian. No, fathers, no, mothers, children, you've got to put into practice prayer. You've got to put into practice love. You see? You've got to put into practice all of these things in your home. Homes don't just happen. They have to be built. They have to be built. And man, I tell you what, you've got to be a Christian parent must present themselves every day to the Lord to live that kind of life in front of their children. It breaks my heart to see parents who want the church and stuff like this, but yet they don't bring their kids to the programs. They leave them at home. There's a price to pay. There's a price to pay. Christians build Christian churches. Man, let me tell you something. This church is unique. I really believe that with all my heart. We had a business meeting Wednesday night, and there's not a sad word spoken in that business meeting. You know, that's not Baptist. It's just not Baptist. We call ourselves a Baptist church, but if I look out there on the sign, I believe there's something else there. I believe it's God's church, folks. This is God's church. You know, Brother Bill said, man, this is the fastest business meetings in this church I believe I've ever seen. If you don't raise your hand just in time, you missed it all. I mean, I had one lady tell me one night, eight minutes is the whole business meeting in 8 minutes. You know, how in the world? And yet no one criticizes. You see, that's the way you build a Christian church. You help one another. You help one another. Jesus said, seek you first. And while he was here to establish the church, he gave us this gospel, and he gave us a commission. He gave us the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And he says, go out into the world and bring them to Christ. Folks, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be building our lives upon Christ, building our families upon Christ, and building our church upon Christ. As we build the church, you know what we do? We give our time, we give our talents, and we give our influence and our love and our service and support. I am the envy of many a preacher because I've been here 33 years. And they wonder, how in the world do you do that? And it is odd. The average preacher don't last a year and a half now. And I'm so thankful it's God's church. And that's what I tell them. You know, it's not my church. It's God's church. It has to be God's church. And as we support this church together, I'm no better than one of you. You know, somebody asked me, I mowed that lot out there a couple of weeks ago, and I was out there just to mow it. Somebody says, the preacher of First Baptist Church has to mow the yard? And you know what I said? The preacher of First Baptist Church don't have to do nothing. But I want to do that. You see? If I'm not willing to do it, how can I expect our people to do it? And another preacher said, you know, that's what I love about you. You love people. And we don't. And you know, that's what's the difference in this church and many a church. I have a love for you and you have a love for me. And all I have to do is call a guy and say, hey, I'm going to mow the yard. And there'll be six or seven guys up here mowing that yard with me. But you know what? I enjoyed mowing it by myself sometimes just to pray. I get a quiet time out there. If you're in the office, you hear the telephone ring. Somebody's always wanting to say something. You know? It's no joke. You don't have time to just sit there and talk to the Lord because everybody else is talking to you. But out there, nobody wants to be around you. That's the good part about it. You know? This church loves the Lord. And as all of us are builders, remember that. All of us tonight are builders. And as we build things for God, we're building our lives, you see. And as we build, make sure we're using the right materials, which are eternal. That will stand the test of time when God comes back. Now ask yourself tonight, am I building a Christian life? Have I laid the right foundation? If you're going to have the right foundation, you can't build anything else. You've got to have Jesus Christ in your life. And once you get Jesus Christ in your life, start building upon that experience with Christ, that relationship. It takes time. It takes prayer. It takes reading the Bible. It takes getting alone. We talked about it this morning, talking to God. Just talk to God. You don't have to say all them fancy words. Just talk to God. I used to love this Mr. Howard Moose. Man, when he prayed, it was just like he praying in the ear of God. He didn't use any fancy words. He just prayed to the Lord with his heart. You see, that makes all the difference. And if you're not already building on Christ, would you come tonight and start? Don't listen to the devil. The old devil will say, well, you've been a Christian, or you've been a member of the church for a long time. You go down there, people are going to think you're crazy. No. People are going to love you even more for taking that kind of position. Listen, that's the right foundation to start on. You can't get to heaven if you don't start with Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight for these that are here. And Lord, most of us have laid that foundation. But Lord, some of us might not have laid it on Jesus Christ. And if there's someone here that doesn't know for sure what they're building on, Lord, let them come. We'll give you praise. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.